I was almost late coming to church tonight. I wanted to get something to drink on the way here and stopped at Get-Go. And it was before 6, but they were all closed, probably wisely for the workers. Giant Eagle, before 6, closed. Just making my way down the mall there. Target was open, a little bit crowded, so I had to stand in line and wait, and got a little nervous about that. But it reminded me of Christmas as a child when parents would be downstairs, you know, wrapping gifts for us three munchkin boys. And they told us, you know, that it would be delivered by some good old Saint Nick and things like that. We knew that couldn't be it. But so we would sneak downstairs and check out what we would get and be real delighted sneaking around and looking into the gifts that we were going to get in a matter of hours. Be the first, last ones to go to bed, first ones up probably. And tonight, I don't know what your practice is for gifts. My family still at this point, we do all kind of things. Often we wait until Christmas Eve for gifts. Been a long time since Christmas morning, but it's gotten to the point where we get we're like a week ahead of time now, opening gifts. So that's really that's something. But if you could see yourself tonight as looking into the heart of God and saying, is Christ for me? You know, what is he like? What's the gift of Jesus? And is he real? And does he have anything to do with me? And does he care about me in my life? And so to look for him like the shepherds and the wise men did. But right from the start, heaven and earth knew everything was going to be different when Jesus was born. Good news of great joy for all the people, for everybody. A child is born. A Savior is given. He is Christ the Lord. That was the message given by the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to everyone. Now, we really don't hear that message a lot. Peace and goodwill to everyone. God wanted his friendship to be with everyone. Now, how could it be that Jesus would change history? How great is Jesus after all? How great could he be that about 2 billion people around the planet tonight stop and worship him? 2 billion people. That's incredible. There's no other experience like it in the whole world, especially when people gather and sing to God and pray pray for each other and, you know, wish they put their lives before God in some direct manner. Jesus was born in a very small town, probably smaller than North Irwin. Or smaller than Youngwood. Okay, there he was, born in Bethlehem. Parents were poor. Dad worked with wood. But the truth got out about Jesus because the truth can't be stopped. And we should be thankful about that. Jesus was the Son of God. That was what Mary heard. And Mary was a humble gal. She wasn't given to exaggeration, so she's a credible witness about Jesus. And Jesus, as people got to know him, they began to discover he was 100% human and 100% God. That was incredible. See, you and I don't have to figure that out, but we do have to deal with him. He's beyond what we can say, well, I'm going to know him perfectly. Well, we'll know him as much as he'll tell us about himself. That's just like any other relationship you have, as a matter of fact. So the Bible gives some titles to Jesus around his birth, showing he's 100% God. Savior, Messiah, the Lord, God with us, save his people from their sins. Oh man, when you think of the troubles of your own soul and the troubles of the world, the biggest problem you and I always have is sin. No matter what else we're dealing with, could be, you know, dealing with loneliness or isolation or being at odds with another person, our biggest problem is always sin. And a sin that would separate us from God. But Jesus was God. No wonder we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. And 100% human. How was Jesus' experiences as a human being like you and I? He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was lonely. You know, around Christmas, loneliness gets ratcheted up really high. Makes it difficult. And God promises to come near to those who are lonely or brokenhearted. But Jesus was crying. He did that. If you've done that, He knows what tears taste like. His own tears and your tears. He was forsaken. He was betrayed. An old song about Christmas, Emmanuel, says about Jesus: sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. What would happen to that little king? He would go complete his mission, rise from the dead. And people said about Jesus, he walked on water. That's crazy. It's either crazy or it's true. Where do you stand about that? Where do you stand about Christ? Right at AD 1, lines were drawn about Jesus. For him, all the way. Not for him, all the way. And so we're going to look at some things that the Bible tells us about people responding to Christ. And you and I are on this roster somewhere. But Jesus received by people, Jesus rejected by people. First group of people that really welcomed Jesus in a physical sense, Mary and Joseph. One of the big first rejectors of the Lord was Herod. Herod was king. Herod was into power and running things. And he wanted to kind of be a little god. You and I have that tendency. We don't want to be like Herod to reject Christ like that. King of our own souls or king of the, you know, what's going to happen in our lives. Mary and Joseph, they received Christ because they knew they needed God. Shepherds and wise men received him. Pharisees rejected him. Shepherds and wise men were kind of opposite ends of life itself. The shepherds were out in the fields. They weren't welcome in polite society. They wouldn't be allowed to come into the sanctuary if we worshipped at a place around AD 1. You know, in a synagogue, they had to stay out there in the foyer where some people are. All those ushers, they'd have to be ushers. All those shepherds out there. And shepherds smelled like the sheep. They stunk. Shepherds ran away all the time because sheep ran away all the time. So that's them. The wise men, they were more together maybe in terms of society, but they knew they needed Christ. They sought him out. The wise men said, my gold belongs to God. Wow. That's a wise thing to do. They received Christ. The Pharisees rejected Christ. Pharisees were the sin police, the religious guys. Uh-oh. I get nervous when I start talking about the Pharisees because I start to have a mirror come up right in front of my face. They're control freaks. I've been president and chairman of very many Pharisee clubs myself. And it's not a pleasant experience for me or other people. I just get disgusted with others, disgusted with myself. You don't want to be a Pharisee and reject Christ. There are a lot of Pharisees among religious people. There are a lot of Pharisees in church life. The good news is Pharisees can repent. Pharisees can repent and receive Christ. Turn to him. John the Baptist, he received Jesus. He was a stand for the truth, even if it cost me my life kind of guy. Very admirable. You and I can ask God for a heart like that. Pilate, he was the classic fence sitter. He said, I find nothing wrong with Christ, but I'm not going to follow him. Maybe you could relate to that. I could relate to that. I can't find anything wrong. I've never preached a sermon against Christ in my whole life. Don't always stand for him. Trust Jesus. He can make us like John the Baptist. And then Peter, James, and John, they received Jesus. They were sinners who knew they needed God. They stumbled and bumbled around to follow Christ. Judas pushed Jesus away. You don't want to be like Judas. I mean, to betray Christ, you end up betraying your own soul by saying, I'm going to sell Jesus out for something. Those who received him, those who rejected him. God's salvation is given as a gift, and we want to know that, as opposed to having self-salvation. Often when we receive Christ, we're able to say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if we don't receive Christ, we usually go after fortune and fame. and that doesn't satisfy us. There's a story about two guys sitting on a lake, side of a lake. They're fishing, and one man says, boy, this is fantastic. So thankful for the opportunity just to relax a little bit on a Saturday morning and fish. And I'm glad to be here. The other guy said, I'm glad to be here, but I have big plans. First guy says, what plans do you have? You know, I'm going to work real hard and get to the top of the company if I could. And then what are you going to do then? I would like to become president of the company, move to another location, gain a lot of stuff as much as I could, and then retire in a great way. First guy says, that's great. And then what are you going to do? He says, then I'm going to go get myself a fishing rod and sit by the side of the lake and fish. And the first guy says, that's a good idea. I think I'll just keep fishing right here. Okay. The things we think are important are not as important as peace with God that we could find because of Christ in our own soul. And so to receive Christ, He'll give you Himself. To reject Him is a sad thing. To go all out for Christ or go all out for self. Receiving Jesus is Jesus only. Rejecting Jesus is living your life me only. That's a sad, selfish way to live. When we receive Jesus, we say, this is what Jesus did for me. So thankful. His life for me, rising from the dead. And often when we reject Him, we talk about what I did for God. With Jesus, we have dignity and purpose from God Himself. Without Him, we end up being like a big random molecule. Okay, that's the mentality we have to have in life, and it's really not from God. I like this part here. When we receive Christ, we have knowledge of the Lord now, but we also say we're going to spend forever with Him. At trillions of years is an underestimation, of course. When we reject Jesus, we say, I'm going to put everything I have into these next moments. 50 short years. I'm going to live for everything I can deal with right here. That's what I'm into. Okay? And as one young preacher said, I want to receive Christ. And he said, excuse me if I live for the next, what's important, for the next trillion years. Excuse me if I put everything in my soul towards that. And he was a wise person. And you and I could respond like that to the Lord also. When we receive Christ also, we have a mercy and forgiveness, friendship with God. If we reject Him, we have sin, which is pushing God out of our lives and rebelling against Him. And then ultimately, when we receive Christ, we have the gift of heaven that God would give us. We can know that for sure. When we reject Christ, we have hell forever, which is just what Jesus taught about. You know, He taught about it clearly, taught about it sadly. Went to the cross so we would not have to go there. The story of a man who had a dream, terrible dream. He dreamt he was in hell. And he felt terrible and isolated and lonely and pain. And he woke up. And he was so happy. He was not in hell. He was so glad. He lived the rest of his life with such great joy and thankfulness. He'd do anything for anybody. And part of the good news of Christmas is, guess what? You're not in hell. And I'm not in hell. And we can wake up and say, Christ could be my salvation right now. In this life and every moment. And then on into the future. How great a Lord He is. And this evening, to be somebody who receives Christ and not somebody who rejects Christ. That's the only two people we find in Scripture. That's the only two people we find in life itself. And God, you know, He sees our soul. He knows where we're at this evening. For many a Christmas time, I go through Christmas and I say, this is good and this is good and these are the bad parts. But when I think of who Christ is, the greatness of God kind of overwhelms everything. And in my own life, just a word of testimony, when I know the goodness of Christ and think of Him and trust Him, gratitude is a word that comes easy for me. so glad to belong to Him. So glad to entrust my soul to Him. I feel God's strength and peace. And things still go very wrong around me and also in my soul on a regular basis. But He is there and He is stronger than anything that occurs. When I reject Christ in some manner, okay, on purpose or by neglect, there's an unrest and a turmoil in my soul that can only be explained by my rebellion against God. And you know, in spite of that, to know that He took the penalty of my sin on Himself. He was born, laid in a manger, but gave His life for us at the cross. Rose from the dead. The great hero of all history, of all the universe, Jesus. And you and I could be on that rejecting of Jesus group. What a not a pleasant group that is. There they are. We don't want to be in the rejecting Jesus group. But we want to be in the receiving Jesus group. Okay, God loves you, and as much as you know people around you, you would say, I love them. I want them to trust Christ and follow Him. And I ask you to do that tonight. You know, God is powerful enough to change your life, make you a great follower of His, simple follower, like a Mary, a Joseph, a wise man, a shepherd. You don't want to be a Herod or a Pharisee or a Pilate or a Judas. That's the two rosters tonight. Okay, and everybody says, which roster you want to be on? God wants you to be on the roster of those who received Him. And He'll help you very much to follow Him. He'll give you other people around you to show what it's like to do things well and how God picks you up after you stumble. So would you put your trust in Christ tonight as we pass the flame to each other and think of Jesus as the light of the world? To close this part of the service, I wanted to pray with you. Sometimes, all the time in morning worship, we pray the Lord's Prayer. We do that in unison. But tonight, to pray words after me, it has to do with receiving Jesus into your life, to be on in the Scripture part that received Him. Okay, imperfect people who knew they needed a Savior. So as I say the phrase, as I pray the prayer, could you pray that after me? For example, if it was the Our Father, I'd say, Our Father who art in heaven. Then you would say with me, Our Father who art in heaven. Okay? And let God speak to your soul as you speak to Him. It doesn't have to be a Christmas where you rejected Christ. It could be a Christmas where you received Him. And what God did for your life, with your life, you'll be amazed and full of gratitude. So could you quietly pray with me, please? Just let your heart speak to God as we pray these words. Jesus, I receive You. Jesus, I receive You. I turn from my sin. I turn from my sin. You died in my place on the cross. You died in my place on the cross. Help me follow You. Help me follow You. Thank You for the gift of You. Thank You for the gift of You. And thank You for the gift of heaven. And thank You for the gift of heaven. Okay, quietly, I'll just pray for each of us now. Father in heaven, pray for each dear person here. This would be a Christmas where they were so close to God, at Your initiative, Lord, that they were just amazed at Your goodness. Fill them with Your love. Fill them with Yourself, Your great Holy Spirit. And help them, Father. Help each one of us be a follower of Yours, helping each other out as we take one step at a time and eventually receive the gift, the free gift of heaven, and know the gift of life with You now, Jesus, which is makes us be unbelievably grateful. So give joy and peace. Comfort each one, Father, going through tough times. Be strong on their behalf. Be closest to them who are troubled. And give great joy to those who rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that the lights be taken down right now. And we're going to think about the Lord being the light of the world. As we pass the flame to one another. Throughout the Advent season, we lit the Advent candles. One was for hope, another for love, another for peace, and another for joy. These are gifts God gives us in the person of His Son. And on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle because Jesus said He was the light of the world. And just let your soul and your heart be open to Jesus, the King of Kings. He's called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He'll be that for you. Jesus said, anybody who follows Him would not walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. And to think that now we can know Christ and follow Him, and someday be with Him forever and with loved ones who know Him. That's the great hope of reconciliation with God and others. You know, part of the pain of hell is just me alone with my pain. All of us know that in this life. It would be devastating to know that in a forever way. But to know the goodness of God, His love. And He's just drawing you to Himself. And the greatest love you'll ever experience, His unconditional love, and taking God's wrath against sin on Himself. So we take the light of the world and we say, thank You so much, Lord, for being the light for my soul. Jesus wants us to pass that light on to other people. Predominantly, we do that by how we treat others, how we love one another. The church hasn't always been good at that. We're a little bit weak, but we're growing strong through Christ and also proclaiming the truth that Christ is King. So as we take the flame, we could just listen to the music, thank the Lord for what He means to us. And can you imagine receiving Christ, you know, in a close way and passing Him on, not just to people in the room here in the flame, with a flame, but to the people around you that God lets you meet. What a privilege to meet people in our lives.